Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Embody Your Soul podcast. I am your host, Alexandra Shelley, also known as the Modern Medium. And the mission of this podcast is to create a space for us all to tap in and discover how we can connect and embody our soul through spiritual connection and best practices. If you are new here, thank you so much for finding me. And if you are a regular listener, thank you so much for tuning in on the magic. If you have not already, make sure to follow this podcast wherever you love to listen. Make sure to follow me on Instagram and Threads at @themodernmedium_. That's where I pretty much keep up to date on everything, life, business, downloads, all the things. And I'm so happy to be here. I apologize for the delay. I've been working every single day at the crystal store and the bookstore. So I've been like kind of nonstop. And now I'm taking these next couple days during the holidays to just download into the podcast. There's been such amazing episodes. Obviously, this is one of them that I've been so excited to share and also re-listen to. I love re-listening to these episodes when editing. I don't remember the order, not that it even matters, but I know like we just discovered each other on Instagram and I just fell in love with her. She's just so authentic. She's so wonderful. She's straightforward and she's such a sweetie pie. Her name is Trinity and her name on Instagram is Femininity with Trinity. And she is a divine feminine energy embodiment coach. And this episode is just so delicious. I, of course, spirit, put her in my path when I've really been into this like goddess and divine feminine energy work. I would say I've probably repeated it a lot, but when I had a breakup, like a heartbreak in April, that's when my divine feminine journey started. And I would say I'm unbelievably grateful for that experience because I'm here now and finally feel like I'm in my feminine energy. And then I came across Trinity and I just love the way she speaks about this work. She's really straightforward and she just shares the facts too, like very objective, like factual things, like literally based on science. But also, of course, feminine energy can be subjective too. But what I really love about this, it's such a celebration of feminine energy. She really just celebrates feminine energy, but also masculine energy. I love that. I am not a man hater. I'm not I just don't like being a hater. I think it's so annoying and drab and yuck and stupid, honestly. Like being a hater, you're just in hater energy. Like what good is that going to do for you? And I love how she celebrates the masculine. I love how she shares the tips. So anyways, I just went on a whole rant about how much I love her. But in this episode, we really talk about what is feminine energy? What is masculine energy? What does it mean to tap into the feminine energy? What does it mean to understand and embody these archetypes? I also love the way she shares the feminine archetypes. There's about 7 and how they align with goddesses too. And we also talk about being in your feminine energy when you're dating and during the courting phase, and how when she met her fiance truly launched her into her spiritual awakening. And I just absolutely love that. It just really goes to show that sacred union. Like literally in the episode we just had with Izzy, sacred union activates your spirituality even more. It launches you into an even deeper spiritual awakening within yourself in such a positive way. And especially when it's a sacred union and aligned partner, it launches you into a higher path, a higher self, a better self. And this is just such a fabulous episode. And you'll hear it like literally in the first question I ask her about like feminine energy and the answer she gives, I freaked out. And again, I don't want to give it away, but it just goes to show how much I love the way she shares this topic, because it's not super complicated. It's really simple. It's really straightforward. Again, feminine and masculine energy can usually be taken into out of, I would say it gets taken out of context into very like in a box. But what it really is, universal life force energy is everything and all things, but there's also a divine duality, the light and shadow. And these go into play with feminine energy and masculine energy. This may, if you are more feminine presenting, whether you are a woman, a man, or non-binary, feminine energy still applies to you. Just the same with masculine energy. And again, if this doesn't resonate with you, like, all the love. There's no bad feelings. Again, with, of course, every episode, I don't expect every single episode to land with every single person. But of course, in my hopes, I just hope to share these beautiful practices that really resonate with me, but also practices that I can't wait to learn from. So anyways, I really hope you enjoy this episode. Again, her name on Instagram is Femininity with Trinity. And I just can't wait for you guys to just tune in and also fall in love with her like I have. So enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I am so freaking excited to have Trinity here. I feel like you guys have heard me on my Instagram and on the podcast, but lately I've really been sinking into being in my divine feminine energy. And this is like the first time in my life. I've lived a life of rushing and overdoing, overthinking, all that. And so connecting with Trinity has come at such, of course, an aligned time. And so I'm really excited to selfishly learn from her, but then you guys to learn from her. And I know we can all benefit. So thank you so much.
Yay. I'm so excited to be here. I just want to say, since we've connected, your energy is so infectious. Like, just talking to you is just, yeah, it's just awesome. So I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. Yay. So, sis, the podcast is called Embody Your Soul. So I always start the podcast with this question. In your own words, what does it mean to embody your soul?
I would say for me, that means coming home to the truest version of yourself, which to me also is for women coming back to your feminine energy. I think that is such a huge part of coming home to your truest self.
Absolutely. The word home, it's just so it, so resonate. And I love asking this question because everyone has their own way of putting it, but it really is all the same. It's coming home. Okay. Trends, sis, what is divine feminine energy? What does it mean? What does it look like?
Yeah, I mean, it looks differently for everybody. And I don't like to make it be this like exact definition of what it looks like or what it is. But when I think about divine feminine energy, I love to bring it back to biology a little bit, because I'm a very logical person. And so even though I'm on this spiritual journey, and this is a very spiritual topic, I'm also just, I love to bring it back to, okay, why does this make sense? So I was just thinking about recently. So when you look at the differences between men and women, you look at women and you look at just like female anatomy, right? And it is a receiving shape, right? It is this, we have to open to receive, and male anatomy is the opposite, right? It's very outward, it's direct. And so when you look at those things, that is just so obvious to me that we are, this is not by accident, right? We're designed to be the specific way. Women are designed to receive, to attract, to be. And so that's the general sense of what I like to think about as feminine energy and masculine energy. And I think a lot of us have detached from our feminine energy, but we still have a feminine essence. That feminine essence is still there. We're just really detached from feminine energy because our feminine energy is that expression of our feminine essence.
Okay. I'm losing it because it's so obvious what you just said, but I have not heard that yet. And I follow a lot of people. So I'm screaming and how perfect that is. I'm literally freaking out. I'm like, of course, it makes so much sense. Oh my gosh. Okay. What are some ways that you can begin to embody your feminine essence before we get into all the specific archetypes. And I know I'll give an example. So my friend Kayla, who is a womb practitioner, she's amazing. I know one of the examples I use is not, it sounds ridiculous, but it's like not washing your dishes right away. Just relaxing for a second. And I know that's a little example. So maybe what are some examples like that? Or even some larger examples of what does it look like to be in your divine feminine energy and then the opposing?
Yeah. Okay. So I love to talk about four pillars of feminine energy, which would be intuition, activity, emotional expression, and sensuality. So those are the four kind of big things that I think represent the divine feminine. So for me right now, I'm on a journey of tapping more into my intuition, which is a huge one. I think I talk a lot about how men are meant to be our leaders, our protectors, our providers, but women are also leaders as well. We just lead differently. We lead from intuition. We lead from this really like divine inherent wisdom that we have. So learning how to tap into that for me has been a big thing because again, I'm a very like logical person. I'm very, yeah. So I have a hard time. The two sides of me fight a lot. I have the logical side of my brain and then I have my intuition and they're constantly fighting each other. So I've been on a journey of, okay, how do I really listen to my intuition more? How do I listen to my gut feeling more? So that's a big part of it. The other pillar is receptivity. So learning how to receive. That's been a huge thing for me as well as learning how to receive from others, from the universe. When I first started dating my fiance, he's very masculine. He's very confident. And I was totally not used to having a man like this in my life at all. It was a complete different experience for me. I had to get used to it. In the beginning, I was a bit uncomfortable. I was like, what do I do with myself? I don't know what to do with this very like forward masculine man. And in the beginning, he was very like, he wanted to buy me things and do all these things. And I felt so like, I didn't want to accept things from him. I'm like, oh no, like I'll pay for it myself or whatever. And I didn't want to feel like I was taking advantage of him or whatever it was. And it's just, it was one of those things where I was really disconnected with that feminine energy of, no, just let him. He wants to, right? He wants to give you things. And so I had to learn how to start receiving those things from him and just receiving those things with gratitude and not being worried about it, because I ended up making him upset because I was like, I was so uncomfortable by it. And I was like, no, I'll pay for it myself or I'll do it myself. And he was like, no, I want to do this. And he was so confused by my reaction. So that's a little thing for sure is learning how to receive. And I think it's a really hard thing for women, especially nowadays. A lot of us have spent so much time of our lives giving to other people and trying to take care of everybody else. And we don't know how to ask for help. We don't know how to receive help from other people. We don't know how to trust the universe to give us things either. We're constantly trying to like, we have to work hard. We have to do all these things to get what we want. And it's like, when we take a step back, that's actually when we start to get those things. Those things come to us. We receive those things. So that's a big part. And then emotional expression. This means a lot of different things for me. So on one hand, emotional expression, women are very expressive creatures. Like we just are. We're just so, and I think that's one of the most beautiful, delicious things about feminine energy is just we're so expressive. And that was a big thing for me too, was I was always a very expressive person. I've always been very animated, very goofy, very upbeat. And I had always been with these men who just didn't really, they just didn't take that well. They were always uncomfortable with it. And when I met my fiance, all of a sudden I felt like I could be my fullest expression of myself. And he was uncomfortable with it. He loves it. He eats it up. And it was just like, I feel like I can fully express myself in any way, right? I can be goofy. I can be crazy. I can be wild. I can also completely break down and let go and cry my eyes out. And he's going to take all of it. And he's going to hold space for me to do that. So emotional expression, a huge thing. And then also just like vulnerability, right? So learning how to be vulnerable and learning how to connect with people really deeply. Being vulnerable is really hard for me. And so that's something that I'm working on as well, is learning how to be vulnerable with with people because of things happen in your past and with your trauma, it can be really hard to do that, but it's such a beautiful thing and a huge part of feminine energy. And it's how we connect with people deeply. And then sensuality, learning how to engage with your senses and be present and just soak up the moment. I feel like we're so disconnected with our bodies these days, and we're so in our heads that we're missing out on this beautiful, like, pleasurable experience of life. And so those are the four main things that I love to talk about. And yeah, does that kind of help answer your question?
No, it's all perfect. And that's perfect how you weaved in your fiance, because I was thinking about your post that you did that went viral about, like, how you were with men where you couldn't really be yourself, be in your expression, and then you met your man who you can be in your expression, and you, like, just wove that in perfectly. And yeah, I literally love all of it. It's just, I'm like dying. So honestly, I'm so curious because I really want to learn a little bit about your journey and how you got here, because clearly, obviously, what we go through and the medicine we give to the world is our medicine. Mm-hmm. I know I became what I am because I need it personally, and then I'm eager to give it. So I want to learn literally how you got into this and even just me as a nerd, I want to learn the resources that you tapped into, the teachers, the authors are like, yeah, anyways, yeah. Take it away.
So I would say I'd stem it back to, I started learning about my cycle, first of all, when I was like maybe around 19, because it's crazy that we don't get taught in school that we have four phases of our cycle and our hormones are fluctuating. And it's insane. Like, why do we not know this? And so I started learning about that and I was like, wow, this is so cool. And I was fascinated. And then started listening to, it was a fluke, to be honest. I came across a podcast. It's Monica Yates. I don't know if you've heard of her. I absolutely love her. She's pretty big in this, in the world of talking about feminine energy. She also does a lot of trauma work, things like that. She's incredible. She's the person who introduced me to this world of, like, feminine, masculine energy, and just everything she was saying in her podcast. I was like, whoa, like, I'm getting, like, it was just resonating with me and it was making so much sense. And it just became something that I was like, this is so intuitive for me and it makes so much sense. And all the pieces are just coming together. So she was the first kind of person who introduced me into this world. And then from there, it was just like, I don't even know. It just spiraled from there. It became an obsession of mine. I just started looking more into it. And like I said, these are all things that I'm still working on myself. And when I did start implementing some of these things and when I did start learning about this, I just know how much it changed my life and how much it changed the dynamic of my relationship. And so I'm like, this needs to be talked about more. This needs to be, like, women need to understand this, and so do men. And we need to talk about it. Yeah, we need to talk about it more. I don't even really know. It just became this obsession for me. And I just started coming across more and more people talking about it. And I just dove into it. And that's where I am today. And it definitely also stemmed from my experiences of when I was younger, I was definitely always the one chasing men. Like, I wanted a boyfriend so bad. And I was like, I need to whatever, do all these things. And I ended up with guys who weren't really that interested in me, first of all. And I was forcing it to happen when it wasn't meant to happen at all. And then just ending up with men who weren't really in their masculine energy fully and people that I wasn't compatible with. And then it really just, like, things totally changed for me when I met my fiance. And I really wasn't even aware of feminine masculine energy dynamics until shortly after I started dating him. So it was definitely him that kind of turned my world upside down a little bit as well, because he came into my life and I was like, whoa, I've never had this before. I've never had a man, like, actually chase me and be like, hey, I want to be with you. I think you're beautiful, all these things. And I was like, literally, it's funny. We talk about it a lot. He says, in the beginning of our relationship, I was like, I didn't talk much. I was very quiet. And I tell him, I'm like, it's because I didn't know what to do with myself. I was literally speechless because I never had a man be like this with me before. I've never had a man be like, I think you're beautiful. I think you're amazing. I want to get to know you more, all these things. And I was just like, I was in shock. And it's so funny to look back on, because now obviously I won't shut up. But in the beginning, it was a different experience for me. And so now I'm just like, I want everyone to understand this is how it should be. You shouldn't have to, you should never question if a man wants to be with you. You should never question his intentions. Like, it should be very clear from day one that he wants to pursue you. And yeah, and it's just, that's, yeah.
Yeah, you could maybe see my expression. I'm like trying not to scream. I love it. That sounds amazing. And of course, as you're even witnessing, even just celebrating you, like following your intuition, like something that's, oh my God, I'm literally obsessed with this. Like this, I could do this 24/7 for free. Like I could research on this forever, talk about it. That is it. So I love that. And clearly this is your soul mission. And I love, love, love how your future husband, your fiance, was such a big catalyst in this. And even down to you, I got this download a little bit ago, very much again, like me being single, calling in my husband and like being in my feminine energy. Like my spirit guides were like, we literally give you everything you need. And when you don't need it, you don't have it yet, or you don't have it. And I love that, like, your fiance was exactly what you needed for your spiritual evolution. And I just, I love it. It's so, I love it. And I so resonate with chasing. Oh my God.
That's actually a very good point. I've never even really thought about it that way either, where he did come into my life exactly when I needed him to. And if he didn't come into my life, I don't even know where I would be. Like, it would be a totally different scenario. And I was in a relationship when he came into my life with somebody else. Okay. So like, when I tell you, I wasn't looking for anybody, I was not even, he came into my life and literally turned my world upside down. And it was completely unexpected, but it was exactly what I needed at that time to wake up and see what was going on in front of me.
Oh my God. Wait, can I like ask a little bit, like how? Like, I want to know.
Yes, like I can tell you a little bit. So yeah, I was with somebody else, not at all looking for another man, like happy in this relationship, whatever. And he was, so it was just through friends that he came into my life. And I just, it was very, unexpected. I wasn't looking for anything else. And he was very just like, he told my friend, I think she's beautiful and like, I want to get to know her. And she's in a relationship. Like you need to back off. And she told me, she was like, oh, he thinks that you're beautiful, whatever. And I don't know what it was, but something like struck me. And it was just like, because he was just, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, I just knew. And it really made me realize I'm clearly missing something in my current relationship if I can't stop thinking about this other guy that I don't even know, but I'm like thinking about this other man. And yeah, I ended up splitting up with the partner that I was with, because I was like, this isn't fair to you, first of all. And it's also, there's something clearly that I'm missing here that I need to figure out. And yeah, it just went from there. It was really fast and unexpected, but it was, exactly what I needed at that time. And when I did leave that relationship, I did realize that I was missing a lot in that relationship, but I just thought that it was a good relationship because we never really fought and we got along. And it was like, from the outside, there was nothing wrong with our relationship. But it lacked a lot of different things. We didn't have any passion in that relationship. There was a lot of just, we got along and whatever, but it's, people think, oh, you didn't fight. That's amazing. So that means that there was a lack of passion. There was no, like, why would we fight? There was just, it was just whatever. And so now with my current partner, we do fight, but it's because we love each other so much and we have so much passion and we want to make each other better and we challenge each other. And that wasn't happening in my previous relationship. We definitely didn't challenge each other. I feel like I've learned so much about myself with my current partner, like my fiance, I have grown so much in these last 4 years that I've been with him, way more than I ever did with my previous partner. It's crazy to me. Yeah, there's a lot of things I was missing in that previous relationship. And I definitely, it wasn't how I wanted to, I guess. Yeah, a lot of people might think it was like bad how it happened, but I think it was exactly how it needed to happen. Was I needed kind of the universe to give me a slap in the face, essentially, of this is so obvious. Here's this new man. It is so obvious that you need to get out of this current relationship. I needed something to push me out of that relationship because I wouldn't have left otherwise, I don't think.
Yes. Okay. I am actually so happy I acted on my instincts to be nosy because you explained some really important things about which I actually want to, that's inspired some new questions about the courting phase, because that's been like a very interesting experience for me and my single spiritual girlies. And that's exactly how, honestly, God, the universe, our guides present it, is like whenever something is meant for us, it's like, how do I put this? It's like you weren't technically doing work to get it, but that's what you're asking. I don't know how to, like, an example for me was like years ago, I was like working really hard to get my first like full-time job. And then all of a sudden recruiter was like, hey, there's this job at the Los Angeles Times. And then I got it that day. And I'm like, I literally wasn't even thinking about like how, but I got it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, this is what it's supposed to be like. It just falls into your lap, but you're doing the work towards it. And so exactly with this, I love it. And okay, so there's a couple questions. Number one, for the girlies out there dating, and I know you mentioned it before with it should be clear, it should be this. I would love for you to even reiterate and expand on that. What is the proper courting experience like for a relationship that is in flow, it's meant for you, you're in your feminine, he's in his masculine?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm not qualified to answer this, but
But you are! You are! I know you are!
Oh my gosh. I would say there just shouldn't be a question in your mind if this man is interested in you. There shouldn't ever, you shouldn't be like, does he like me? Does he not? No. You should know this man should make it very obvious that he is into you. He wants to see you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to get to know you. And yeah, he was just so confident and he wasn't shy to tell me those things. And I think that's the big thing too, is he was very forward and he was very, hey, I want to get to know you. I don't really want to see anybody else. I want to see you and that's it. And yeah, I don't know how to answer this question, but because the courting phase really looks different for everybody, I feel like.
Yeah.
But
maybe some like advice on if they're going through the courting phase. Okay, like how should I go about this? I want to be in my feminine energy.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say definitely letting him take the lead. There's nothing wrong with that. Seeing where he takes it. Don't obsess over like, oh, he hasn't texted me back yet. Should I text him? Blah, blah, blah. Let him text you. See what efforts he puts in. That's a big feminine energy thing, right? If he doesn't text you back, if he doesn't keep pursuing you, let it go. Wasn't meant for you, right? Like, it's okay. Goodbye, sir. Yeah, I would say definitely leaning into just letting him take the lead a little bit, see where it goes. And yeah, let him chase you. Let him chase you. Let him miss you a little bit. Like, see, you know, have your own life going on, right? Like, I think that's a big thing too, is there's nothing wrong with being like, hey, I really want to see you as well, but I have this thing with my friend. So can we maybe reschedule for next week, right? Let him chase you a little bit, see what he does, right? Because I think it's important for you to have your own life and your own things going on as well while you're dating somebody, not reschedule with your friend so you can go out with this guy. No, you have plans with your friend already, go hang out with your friend and then he can reschedule, right? So I think that's a big thing. Yeah. Letting him chase you and then being able to receive, right? If he wants to pay for your dinner, let him pay for your dinner. Don't be weird about it. You know what I mean? Let him open the door for you. Like, all those types of things. You don't need to be like this cool independent girl. Let him receive his compliment, receive compliments from him. Let him do things for you. They really want to. That's the thing that I want women to understand too. Is men really want to do those things for you. So let him do it, because he's going to really love that. And I think also in the beginning stages as well, there's nothing wrong with really showing your softness, your warmth. Men also really love that about women. They love our warmth, our nurturing side, our caring side. Obviously, if he doesn't deserve it, then don't give that to him. But you can open up a little bit. You can allow him to see that softness. You don't have to be like the cool girl, right? It doesn't have to be that way. He's going to really appreciate if you show him that warmth and that softness and that side of you.
Mm. Oh my gosh. I love it so much. I'm like, this is just, okay. I also, off topic, on topic, if you're, because I was thinking about it on my walk. I'm like, oh my God, she needs this deck. You've also been seeing me post it. This erotic divine feminine tarot deck, I'm actually losing my mind. It's like another spiritual awakening. And I don't know if you like know tarot. So there's the major arcanas and the minor arcanas, and the major arcanas are specific goddesses. Like with the, it's like,
okay.
It's,
okay. No, I actually do think I need to get into this more, because I'm not familiar with tarot. I have an oracle deck, which is like so straightforward. You don't have to know anything. So it just tells you what the cards mean. But I need to get into it more, because that sounds amazing. And I'm like, okay, I need this. I need
this. It's literally, it's so great. And she incorporates like eroticism, sex magic, embodiment. Like, it's so great. It's literally amazing. But I love every single thing you're saying. And even it feels so confirming with like earlier you were saying, when a man, it just makes so much sense. Like when I've dealt with the situationship or the men, it's honestly on purpose they're being unclear, because it's natural for men in their masculine to be clear and to be direct. That's, that's like very in flow masculine energy. And like when they're not, it's honestly also just a reflection of themselves. Like they're not even clear, like with maybe even with parts of their life. So I love what you're saying. And I feel like this question will even be a really great segue into what I also want to talk about. So there's that interesting, I'd love to hear your perspective on, like, we all have masculine, feminine energy. And like, I guess it's fascinating, because I'm like, if, is it in divine feminine energy to be in our masculine, or is that more with the archetype of the feminine rather than, oh, I'm in my masculine today? Would it be more like, oh, I'm in my feminine leadership, because then it's not in feminine energy? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So it's, I love to think of it as like yin and yang, like literally the symbol. Like you have, women have mainly feminine energy with a little bit of masculine energy that we can tap into, and then vice versa for men. I think, here's the thing. Yes, we all have feminine and masculine energy within us, 100%. And you got to figure out that balance. And I think a lot of us, the balance has been thrown off, where we have a lot of women who are very much in their masculine energy all the time. They're so disconnected with their feminine. And then even the opposite for men, right? Like they've been taught to that their masculinity is toxic or whatever it is. So they've shoved that down, and then they've become a little bit more feminine or whatever it is. But like you said about the leadership portion of it. So going into that, like I said before, we all can lead, right? We all can be leaders. Men can be fantastic leaders. Women can be fantastic leaders. And I think that when we, as women, we lead from a feminine place, a place of intuition, a place of softness, that is actually going to be the most beneficial for us. That's going to be the most natural for us. Whereas leading from a masculine place, we're going to have more of a tendency to get burnt out from that. We're going to have more of a tendency to become really stressed. Does that mean that we can never lead from a masculine place? No, of course not. Yes, you can. Like, though, we need to, right? You have to tap into that energy, and you have to be masculine, and you have to be, you know, forward and direct and aggressive and those things. Like, it's got to happen sometimes, and that's okay. And I think we have to also not overthink this so much, because I think a lot of people overthink it and they're like, oh my gosh, was that me being masculine and I'm not in my feminine? Don't have to overthink it as much, right? It's just more about understanding where maybe you've been a little bit too masculine, or maybe you've gotten yourself to a point where you're stressing yourself out, or you're hustling and you're burning yourself out, or you're maybe pushing things away from yourself because you're in your hyper-masculine energy. And it's learning to tap into that feminine energy more, because I think for women, it's just going to be more beneficial because we have that feminine essence. And that comes from our biology. It comes from, we literally are these cyclical beings. We have these seasons that men do not, right? And we have these inherent gifts. We have this amazing nurturing ability. We have this amazing intuition, this wisdom that we have that we don't have to try so hard to use, or it's just natural. And so I think, yes, we have this, we have both energies in us, and we need both energies. We need both energies internally and externally, right? So I like to talk about how for women, like, we need masculine energy for structure. We need mm-hmm. to, because it supports us, right? Why do you want a masculine man? Because he supports you, right? We also need that internally. We need masculine structures. We need organization. We need direction, those types of things, purpose, so that we can flow in our feminine, right? If you're just like in your feminine energy all day, like blah, 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 like in La La Land, you're probably going to, that's not going to work out well for you either. You do need that masculine energy. You do need that structure, that support, so you can flow in your feminine. So yeah, hopefully that sort of answers your question. That was a bit of a ramble, but.
No, that all made sense. Cause yeah, it's fascinating. Cause now again, that I've been embodying and in my divine feminine energy, I'm like, oh, what does this mean? Because we all have it in us, and it's like, how do we cultivate it? So you spoke really well to it. And now the perfect segue, the feminine archetypes, which are just so delicious and amazing. Yeah, do your thing, if you wouldn't mind explaining the gorgeous feminine archetypes.
I love the archetypes. When I first heard of them, I was immediately interested because I used to be, when I was younger, I was obsessed with personality tests, and then I became obsessed with a little bit of astrology, and I totally love that stuff. I think partially because just of my childhood and the trauma that I've been through, I've always had a little bit of issues with my identity, and so I've always just been always searching for who am I and what does it mean and all those things. So anything personality tests and those things, I loved. I always ate that stuff up. So when I heard of the archetypes, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, this is so cool. This resonates with me, and it ties into feminine energy. And I'm like, ooh, I need to learn more. I love the feminine archetypes as a tool to understand where you're at in your feminine energy and what aspects of feminine energy maybe you're lacking or you need to work on. Because the archetypes, while they are used as you might be one archetype or the other, we all have all of them within us. Because to me, all of the archetypes just represent different aspects of feminine energy that we all have within us, right? And depending on your personality, what you've been through, societal conditioning, it's all going to determine which archetypes are more at the forefront for you. Mm-hmm. So going through the archetypes, so we have the maiden, the huntress, the mother, the lover, we have the queen, the sage, and the mystic. Did I miss any of them? I think I got all of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, essentially I like to talk about these seven particular archetypes because they also mirror the seven Greek goddesses, which I think are really cool to learn about. I did read a book about the Greek goddesses as archetypes, and that was really helpful for me to put it all together and give them each traits to explain to people. And they're just really beautiful to understand yourself better as a woman. And I don't like to think of them as a way to limit yourself or label yourself. You can use this as a catalyst for your growth, right? Okay, I think I represent the huntress and the queen. And I don't connect with the maiden or the mystic. Okay, so maybe the maiden and the mystic, their qualities and their traits are things that maybe you need to learn to tap into a little bit more to really experience like more of your divine feminine energy. A lot of people, I think, are disconnected sometimes from the lover. We, a lot of us as women, are really have a lot of shame around like our sexuality, our bodies. And so connecting to the lover and understanding that like experiencing pleasure and being comfortable in your body and confident and those types of things are not shameful and it's beautiful. And I think that there's, yeah, it's just a really great tool to figure out which, and they're fun too, because you can just pick an archetype and be like, I'm going to embody her today because I need to for whatever reason, right? It's so fun. And I also love to talk about it in the sense of, I did a live video with somebody on Instagram. Her name's Samantha and she's awesome. And she talks about cycle syncing. And it's also fun to talk about it in the sense of different archetypes might come out in different phases of your cycle, right? We were talking about the lover archetype. She is amazing. I love her. I always talk about her. But like in my luteal phase, she's not really around. She's taking a break. Like it's, those are really great ways to look at it as well. And connecting to your archetypes as well. You might be able to connect to a certain archetype easier during a certain phase of your cycle. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. I love it so much. I definitely feel like right now I'm in like my lover phase of really just tapping into taking myself on dates and like dating myself and yeah, just like the deliciousness of life. I love how they can expand into like little parts of our life. So if you wouldn't mind like explaining a little bit about each.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start with the maiden. So the maiden is a representation of our inner child. Mm. All women start out as the maiden, right? And then the maiden always sticks with us, right? She's our inner child. She's that really like playful, innocent, hopeful archetype that we all have. She can also be a little bit naive. She can be a little bit, she's also very intuitive as well, can be a little bit impulsive, but you can think of it as how you were as a young girl, right? That's your maiden. I love talking about the maiden because I think that a lot of us do feel disconnected from our maiden, do feel disconnected from our inner child. And it's, I like to remind people, even if you can be a full grown adult woman, but you should still be able to play sometimes. You should still be able to like be goofy and be silly and just connect to that playfulness of your maiden again. And actually, one of my best friends, she's such a maiden archetype, and I love hanging out with her because I feel like I am disconnected with my maiden a little bit just because I had to grow up really fast and I had to deal with a lot of things and I lost her a little bit. I shoved her away because I was like, no, she was so innocent and she was so easily manipulated. And I'm like, I don't want to be that anymore. So I just got rid of her. And so I love spending time with my best friend because she is so carefree and goofy and silly. And I just like, I need more of that again. I need to bring that out of me again. So I love that. I love that archetype. The next one is the huntress. So the huntress is, I would say in a way she's the most masculine of the feminine archetypes. She is going to be the representation of having boundaries and being really tough and protective. And she shows you what you're capable of as a woman. She wants to show you that can be whatever you want to be. And she is, yeah, she's very much goal oriented. She's not too concerned about more traditionally feminine things. She is, no, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. So she's a really beautiful archetype in the sense that if you are somebody who has a hard time saying no, if you're someone who has maybe always been a bit of a people pleaser, you just have always been the good girl, you just do what everyone thinks that you're supposed to do, what everyone tells you to do, the huntress would definitely be a really helpful archetype to connect with because she really brings that, the confidence out of you to say no, to be like, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. And so she's really beautiful in that sense. But a lot of us also, I do talk about the huntress because a lot of us are too much in the huntress archetype mm-hmm. where we're very angry at men and we're not connected to our softness, right? And so I think that's more of what I see more in society nowadays is women who are very disconnected with all the other archetypes and they're very much in their huntress energy and they need to let go of her just a little bit.
I literally cannot with man haters. I'm like,
yeah,
Oh my God. I totally, and I feel you maybe, I'm sure you can get this, but I'm like, I am so connected to my maiden. I'm like, I feel like she's a big piece of my body.
Yeah, no. And that's good, honestly, because I think, yeah, like I said, a lot of women lose the maiden and she gets left behind because, you know, we grow out of it. And we shove her away in a corner because we're like, we don't want her involved anymore. I'm a grown woman. I got to get rid of that side of me. I got to be serious. I got to do all this. And it's, but you don't have to. You can really just like, she just, I think, gives that, brings back your carefree side of you. And I think it's so needed sometimes for women. So,
yes.
Yeah. So those are the first two. The next one I'll talk about is, we'll talk about the sage and the mystic. They're very similar. They're both very intelligent. The sage is going to be more like book smart, very loves just learning and is very curious. And then the mystic is going to be, is very intelligent as well, but the mystic is more interested about the spiritual realm. She's more connected to inner growth and those types of things. The mystic really helps us learn how to slow down, to rest, to reflect. She's really beautiful in that sense. She can be introverted. It's really about going inwards, right? She helps us go inwards. And then the sage is a little bit more outward facing. She's more about goals, right? Accomplishing things, being successful, learning whatever she can, all those types of things. But they're both really beautiful because they show us that women are inherently we're meant to flow, we're meant to grow, we're meant to evolve. And so the sage and the mystic are really amazing in that sense because it shows us how much we do have that desire to grow and evolve and to flow. And I think that all women need to really tap into those archetypes at certain points, because I think a lot of us were so stuck in this is me and you have to accept me as I am. And it's yes, but there's also room for growth. There's room to hear what other people are saying and maybe use that as a catalyst for you to grow and evolve and be a better person and the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And the sage is, yeah. So the sage is, that's the best way I would describe the sage and the mystic. The mystic's also going to be, might have a little bit of a harder time with connecting to people because she's a little bit, she likes to go into her little bubble, her cocoon, and pull away from society so she can sometimes be a little bit too in her own bubble and miss out on some things. She needs to connect to other people and not forget about the people around her and the universe around her. And then the sage can have a hard time with connecting to herself emotionally. She can be a little bit too in her head and not in her heart, those types of things. And then going on to, we'll talk about the mother. So the mother is very self-explanatory, but it's that nurturing side of us, that caring side of us, protective side of us as well. The mother is really beautiful, and it doesn't have to be someone who's actually a mother. It can be just someone who is, you talk about friend groups and how they always have a one friend that's like the mom of the group. That's totally the mother archetype, right? Always making sure everyone's taken care of, the responsible one, those types of things. But she can also, we see this a lot with actual mothers, that they can be so selfless that they end up forgetting about themselves, right? They don't take care of themselves. They don't prioritize themselves because they're worried about taking care of everybody else. So that's a big consideration of the mother archetype. And then we also have the lover, as we were talking about. She's the confident, sexy version of ourselves that wants to be out there and wants the world to see her. And she shows us that we don't have to be ashamed of that really expressive version of ourselves, and that as women, we are sexual beings, and that is okay. It's beautiful. It's sacred. And yeah, I love her so much. She is probably one of my favorite archetypes to tap into. I'm like, when I'm ovulating, I'm like, yes, she's here. I'm like, let's sexy dance in the kitchen. Like I absolutely You're love it.
Good.
Yeah. But she's amazing. I think obviously there can be shadow sides to her as well. I think sometimes we can get into this sort of femme fatale, maybe manipulating men a little bit, using your femininity or your sexuality as a weapon, those types of things, overindulging, those types of things can be shadows of the lover. And then going on to the queen. So the queen is she's very ambitious. She's very loyal. When you think about the queen, you can think of the queen wants her king, right? She wants that dynamic, that power couple dynamic. But she's also a really great leader. She's that businesswoman that is leading a group of people. And she's very confident as well. She's very good at connecting with people. She's very social, very out there. She can have a tendency, though, to become jealous, to become also a little bit manipulative or those types of things. She can have a bit of a need for control or for power. And when she doesn't have that, that can be something that she ends up trying to get a hold of. But yeah, the queen is really amazing for showing us again what we're capable of as women and how we can really be great leaders and accomplish really amazing things. So I think I got all of them. Hopefully I didn't miss it.
Yes, I love all of it so much. So even just like a little example, what would it look like to, I know you briefly mentioned it, but what would it look like to look at the archetypes and be like, you know what? What I do is sometimes I get excited and then I over-explain and then I answer the question that I'm asking. Okay, how do I put this? Yeah, so what are some just small examples, maybe daily examples of how like you can play with the archetypes?
Yeah, so I can just use like a random example, but I think, so if you're maybe trying to connect to your maiden again, like I said, you can use it as like a character, right? If I'm like, I'm going to play this character today. And it's fun, like dress like her. What does she dress like? What does she act like? What does she feel like? And if you're wanting to connect to your maiden, go outside and play, sing one of your favorite songs with one of your best friends, like just let loose and have fun and don't be afraid to do that. You know, going into the mystic, maybe, you know, you're like, I have been so in my head lately. I need to just get back into my body. I need to reflect and connect to myself. What kind of practices can you do to do that? Like maybe try and meditate, maybe try and go to a yoga class, like those types of things. Do you have a spiritual practice that is really important to you and resonates with you? Do that. Those types of things. And then the lover, like I said, maybe you're like, I have been so disconnected from her and I need to get back to that. Like, how can you create something? How can you be creative? Because that's a big part of the lover as well, as being creative, expressing that energy. How can you feel confident in your body? Can you do something for yourself that makes you feel confident in your body? Can you put on a sexy song and dance and like no one's watching, right? Something like that. How can you connect to your sensuality? So how can you be present and just drop down into your body and hear sounds and smells and, you know, eat a freaking fruit really like passionately. You know what I mean? Like something like that, right? So there's little things you can do just to get into the energy of specific archetypes that you feel like you need to. So yeah, does that kind of answer your question?
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely perfect. And I love, wait, also I'm just like even curious for my own sake. So one of the goddesses in the erotic feminine tarot deck, it's interesting, Persephone came through and she's been wanting me to connect with her. So what, I know you said the archetypes, what archetype does she fit?
She's
with?
The maiden.
Oh my God. Actually, that makes so much sense. And then I'm obviously assuming Venus, Aphrodite, is the lover.
Yep. Aphrodite is the lover. The huntress is Artemis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Sage, Athena is Athena. Mm-hmm. The mystic is, I think it's Hestia. That's what it is.
Hestia. Okay.
Hestia. The mother is Hera, I believe. And then, or is that the queen? Shoot. Yeah, I think it's the queen. The queen is Hera. And then the mother is Demeter, I believe, is the mother.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh my God. Trinity, this has been such, I'm like, this conversation was so beautiful and gave me so much energy. Thank you so much. So where can the people find you? And I know you've also mentioned like you're creating some offers. So if there's anything you'd like to share.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok. Femininity with Trinity is my username. You can find me there. I'm in the infancy stages of my social media, of my business. So I'm just seeing what resonates with people and seeing what resonates with me and what I'm called to talk about and share and teach. But I am going to be coming out with a freebie soon. So I'm going to have a free guide, which has 10 feminine energy practices. So if you're in the beginning stages of learning to connect your feminine energy, it has some really great practices that you can start implementing into your day-to-day life. And then I'm creating some other offers. I have some other things that I'm trying to put out into the world right now. I'm really excited about the archetypes is something that everyone seems to really love. So I'm throwing around some different ideas of maybe a workbook or a quiz or a guide of some sort for the archetypes. Yeah, very excited for those things. Yeah.
Yay. Oh my God. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for you. And yeah, I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Hello, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Honestly, I love Trinity. She's such a sweet angel. And I hope you, again, follow her on Instagram. And it's the same account name on Threads. She's also on TikTok. I'll put all of her information in the show notes. But I hope this episode resonates with you. And if you feel like anyone needs this beautiful magic, share away. Do not be shy. And also, do not be shy and reach out to me. Reach out to Trinity. We would both love to hear how this episode resonates with you. And we're so excited to do our thing. We're so excited to serve. So we love you guys. Thank you so much. And I'll see you next time.
Two.